Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Sean and Crystal here. We are two of the four pastoral staff team here at Life Community Church and excited to join you today. Opened up with a new sermon series this week. So yeah. Thank you, Pastor Crystal, for preaching it away. Yeah. Sermon series we're calling This Is How We Do This. And it's about our values. So kind of first question to get us started today. Well, actually, what'd you have for breakfast today?
We'll ease in. Pumpkin overnight oats.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're like really that. Good.
Yeah, I like overnight oats.
Yep.
I haven't had those in a while. I've been on egg bites lately. Okay. We throw them in the toaster oven. Air fryer. Oh. That's what it is. Air fryer.
Okay.
And pretty good. So I had egg bites.
How many cups of coffee have you had?
Well, two mugfuls.
Today. How many cups is that equal?
I don't
know. Maybe five?
Who cares?
Oh, okay.
I just, so it was good. I'm ready for more. So there's probably more in my future today. So I'm just rocking the water right now. And I see that you're just, fasting and eating liquids today.
I had hot chocolate made out of a protein shake.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah, important things.
Important things. Why would we do a series on our values?
Yeah. Our values, we said on Sunday that our values are what help us stay on mission, right? They keep us on mission as a church organization and they help shape the culture of our church. Mm-hmm. And so we have values here at Life Community Church that have been born out of what's actually present here with the people and that are actualized values that mm-hmm. people live into, not aspirational things. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to do a series like that because it helps us stay in alignment for our mission, which is to connect people to Jesus and their life's purpose. And the values are just how we go about that as Life Community Church. And it's important for us to not just remember them, but also embody them. Mm-hmm. We have people here that weren't around when the values were, kind of picked several years ago or kind of established and also just because they are for us too, mm-hmm. personally, mm-hmm. values that we should be embodying.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of have the tagline. Well, the series title is This Is How We Do This.
Yeah.
Right? And so like our values are how we go about our work. Right. And everybody has values. They may not be named, but it's the kind of behind the scenes motivator for how you go about your life and your work. And every church has values. And so we did work several years ago of unearthing mm-hmm. those and just helping to identify like, hey, what has been a part of us since our very beginning, right? That we are, we're part of a long history. We're getting close to like 100 years, right? So 1939, okay. So how have those values played out? And they may have been called something different, back in the day. But these kind of these core motivators that have been a part of our church for a long time. And that continue to be a part of us. And so for a lot of people, you just mentioned about this idea that we have aspirational values. Mm-hmm. I want to be a generous person, mm-hmm. right? And so generosity is a value for me. But if that is not actualized in your behavior, then it's an aspirational value. You're not actually generous, right? And so the cool thing about the five values that we have, and hopefully soon to be six, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Is that these are truly like actual values that we have that have been lived out.
Yeah.
And as new people come to our church and we want to help people live into those things. And so I think that's also like an important reason why we teach on this from time to time is that it's like, hey, it's just, we need a reminder and then new people need to know, like, hey, this is what makes us unique as a church. And so maybe that kind of leads us to our second question is like, what makes us different, from, kind of community, other sister mm-hmm. community churches, whether it's Grace City or Calvary, what kind of makes Life Community Church unique?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every church is going to have hopefully the same mission. We said that on Sunday, right? Like truly we're trying to connect people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Again, how we go about that might look a little bit differently. And so the values that are embodied here at Life Community Church, that's what makes us different. And so, you know, growth is the one that we talked about on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that mean? What do we mean when we say growth? Like, that's a value right. for us. And, you know, how we unpacked that on Sunday was that healthy things grow. That's the tagline mm-hmm. that we use. And that they're in scripture and, you know, even in walking through just how Jesus led his disciples, there's no such thing as a stagnant Christian. And we are expected to be growing mm-hmm. as individuals and as a church, you know, not to be bigger and better, but because what that, you know, actually looks like is transformed lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that's been a part of our church history from the very beginning. You know, it's, we went all the way back. You can read about how like they started in a tent and they went door to door and like they were motivated by, they wanted people to come to know Jesus. Obviously, they wanted to connect people to Jesus. And that was reflected in this idea that they would grow, you know? And so very early on, you can read about how like they get established as a church and it was like 12 people. Mm-hmm. And then it was not very long. And they had what they used to call a Sunday school committee and then the missions committee. And like, mm-hmm. there was just this growth that was happening as well as like this intentional discipleship that was happening. So like, I think if we look at the scripture, you know, Jesus has several stories that he talks about where when you're part of the kingdom of God, one of the key characteristics of the kingdom is growth, right? That things multiply. And again, not for the sake of like, not just trying to be, like you said, a bigger and better church, mm-hmm. like more and more numbers, though I think sometimes that is reflective of a desire, right? And so we would hope to grow as a church to be effective. But this idea that, you know, the parable of the talents, right? God has given us some resource mm-hmm. and some, you know, something to participate in his kingdom with. And then we're expected to do something with that, both personally, like, so what has the Spirit done in me? Mm-hmm. And then how do we collectively do that? And so, you know, it's one of the things that we've said to sometimes new folks coming in is that like, if you're not interested in growth, you're probably going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We're going to challenge each other to grow. And I want to be a different person tomorrow than I am today.
Yeah.
And with the Spirit's help, I can do that. Right. And we want to be, you know, a more effective church body tomorrow than we are today. And with the Spirit's help, we can do that. And so it's this participation with God's Spirit to grow us into fully into who he's intended us to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned this in the sermon, but you know, God loves us right where we're at, but loves us too much or so much that he doesn't want us to
leave us where we are.
Leave us where we are. And what that looks like is, you know, you should not be, your spiritual growth should be, you know, going in the direction of becoming more and more like Jesus every day, all of us. And so the things that we were doing when we first came to know Jesus, you know, if that's been, you know, several years or even months or days, like it should be growing. It should be different. We use a scripture that talks about, you know, you shouldn't still be needing milk at this point. Right. You should have solid food. And so what does that actually look like? Well, you know, what does your scripture reading look like? Mm-hmm. Are you still just, you know, reading the verse of the day mm-hmm. on, you know, the Bible app, or are you finding a plan that helps you stay connected? You know, mm-hmm. are you still just shooting up little prayers throughout the day? Or are you having dedicated prayer time? You know, what, mm-hmm. how are the practices? We talked about that. How are you incorporating them into your life? And, you know, what can you do to deepen those things? And that's the process of discipleship, you know, being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus and doing what Jesus did. And so that's kind of the measurement for growth. And then out of that, you would hope that would become, you know, then you take that out into your communities and it's people are like, hey, you're different.
Yeah.
You know, tell me what's going on. And so, yeah, I mean, I said this on Sunday, I'd love to see this place full. But one of the other things we talked about was focusing on health.
Yep.
And then when you focus on health, growth is just a natural thing mm-hmm. that happens.
Yeah. It's kind of like almost, you know, it's biology, right? Yeah. Like when something is healthy, it grows. And so we focus on like, hey, how do we be, like, you know, we've said before, like, right, the best thing I have to offer people is my life with God, right? Yeah. Like when I am healthy, then I will grow. And when we as a church body are healthy, we will grow. And so, yeah, I think it's really important for us. And it's been, you know, again, been around, really, you can trace it like in the different ways that whether it's been numerical growth mm-hmm. or discipleship focuses or things like that, that have been a part of who we are.
Yeah.
And it really is a part of who we are. And so I think in some ways it shows up like in a sermon where we try to be really intentional about a next step or, you know, some sort of response
yeah.
to the message. Not just because we think like the word deserves a response, though it does, mm-hmm. but because we want you to grow. Like right. there's a next step that we can take, or why we host like a Forward Together
yep.
night, because like we want to grow as leaders and our effectiveness is, and so in every environment,
yeah.
If you're in a life group or, there's always like this application piece that is necessary, because we don't just gather together, yep. right? Like, I think it was Bob Goff who in one of his books said, that this idea that we've all been educated beyond our obedience, right? We know more of the yep. Bible than we actually obey, right? Yep. We don't necessarily need more Bible study, though some of us do, like some of us need to grow in, but right. a lot of us, like it's a, hey, we actually need to apply that right. for not just knowledge, but true growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we overestimate, the transformational piece. Like we're like, just feed me more. I need more. And we haven't yet put into practice some of the things that we need to. And so, yeah, just a great, great reminder.
Yeah.
We also talked about how growth doesn't always mean adding more things right. and that, a huge important part of growth is allowing God to do pruning mm-hmm. life, in our lives, and how it just feels counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. We talk about like what it looks like to prune your blueberry bushes or whatever. And you're like, man, I don't want to like cut away all this stuff because then no fruit's going to come. But what happens is you have more harvest. Yeah. And so, maybe we could talk about what that looks like in our own lives.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. So I was thinking when you went right where my brain was, that sometimes growth requires subtraction.
Yeah.
Right? Like taking things out of our lives, to make space for other things. And, I think sometimes initially that loss feels threatening, yeah. right? It feels like I think about when I trim, we've got an Asian pear tree and some other trees. And typically about this time of year, mm-hmm. I'll go in and cut them way back. And it always makes me feel anxious.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm ruining my tree. Yeah. Like it looks terrible. But then, come spring and summer, like it's full and there's lots of fruit. And so I think recognizing that, yeah, sometimes for growth, sometimes things need to have necessary endings.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that thing necessarily was bad.
Right.
Sometimes it's behavior that's like, no, like that needs to stop.
Yeah.
right? But sometimes it's like, hey, this thing had a good life mm-hmm. and it needs to have a necessary ending. So to make room for something else.
Yeah.
And like the body of Christ in the church world, sometimes that can be really hard,
right?
Right? Because this is like, hey, this thing has been a part of, we've been doing this mm-hmm. thing for years and it's been amazing.
And it's going well.
And still. Going well. And yeah, like sometimes that thing needs to die to make space for something new,
yeah.
like to allow for new growth to happen in that space. So sometimes ministries need, sometimes beloved ministries
yeah.
need that. Sometimes ways of doing church need to shift and change. And that's part of why we're always kind of experimenting yeah. with things of like, hey, we're not going to get stuck in any one way because we want to grow. So just like, you've been, lifting some weights, right? So you've got to vary your approach yeah. or else, you kind of get stunted. You hit a yeah. ceiling. And so same way in church world, we want to try different things
yeah.
and allow certain things to have a lifespan and not be afraid to change yeah. stuff. Personally, right? Like, how do you mix that up? Right. Mm-hmm. We have like our core practices, silence and solitude, just for example, doesn't always have to look the same.
Right. Right?
How can I mix that up or prayer or fasting? Right. Like, how do I, hey, maybe I did fasting. Maybe I fasted social media for mm-hmm. a season. And it's like, I probably at some point need to grow beyond
yep.
that, it's a little more challenging
yeah.
fast, right?
Yeah, otherwise feel it just, something.
Yeah. So I think those are some ways maybe corporately that we do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got more like personally what that looks like.
Yeah. I think about just different seasons I've been in different ministry opportunities that I've had and things that felt really good and were going really well, but just sensed that the Spirit was, maybe moving me into a new direction. And so I had to, wrap up my time with something mm-hmm. that I was part of. And that hurts a little bit. It mm-hmm. stings a little bit. I think in those moments, it's really eye-opening to go, man, was this more about how it made me feel than it was about, you know, what God was doing in me? And yeah. So having to set those things aside and then trusting, you know, maybe there's a season of quiet that I'm entering in, or a season where I'm not doing something and I am just having to wait upon the Lord.
Yeah.
And then God's always been faithful to bring about something else in my life that has been really fruitful. And I just think it's just a good reminder that we have to hold everything loosely and also just practice dependence upon God at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ways, I was thinking about as a church, you know, sometimes we hold like leadership positions, right? And maybe we hold on to those a little too tightly and doesn't allow somebody else to grow into that space, you know? So sometimes it's stepping aside.
Yep.
I think a lot about that with like student ministry and helping like students have some ownership and responsibility in the church. Yep. You know, the kind of the key phrase for that is like keychain leadership. Mm-hmm. Like when do we hand over the keys?
Yeah.
Right. And let them drive a little bit. And sometimes that means we got to step out of the way, make space for growth and recognize that new growth is messy.
Yep.
Right. And so sometimes it doesn't always go as planned or it's not as neat and organized and tidy. But that's all like, those are growing pains, right? Like that's all part of making space for. And so we try to do that. Hopefully, you know, church wide and then personally as well. And so,
yeah, I was thinking about, you know, one of the things we talked about on Sunday was growing together in wisdom, through listening and listening to our older generation because they have experience, but also to our younger people because they have all the energy. And we've said this before here that God's really doing something in our young people. And so we want to kind of get out of the way and let God do what God's going to do. I was thinking just a few weeks ago when all of the communion stations were being, there was a teenager at each station and just how cool that was. Like, you know, I don't know. It just represented that for me, you know, for whatever reason, that's how it worked out on that Sunday. And I just thought it was really cool to see our young people standing behind our elements to just guide us into that time of communion. So,
Yeah. It's good. We got an interesting question here that I think would be fun to look at. And we talk about what does it look like to grow in effectiveness? Like, how do we know we're bearing fruit? Like, how do we know that growth is actually happening, in us personally and maybe in us as a church? I mean, I think you and I have been around long enough where we know, like, it's real easy to like manipulate growth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, anybody can do it. Yeah. Like any church really can grow numerically if they just push the right buttons, right? Or just like speak to the, you know, the hottest cultural like thing in the moment. You're going to collect all those people.
Tap into the emotions of the moment.
Yeah. And so like, how do we know that growth is really happening? Like what does fruitfulness look like? Throw that at you.
Okay. I'll start with myself. I'll start there. And then personally, I think about it. So, you know, if you're talking about personalities and you think about everybody has like a shadow side, right? So the parts of us that are a little bit, you know, the yucky parts maybe sometimes are where we go to in conflict. And I think I see growth when there's conflict, there's something hard or difficult happening. And what comes out of me is not anger or anxiety or, you know, critical, you know, anything critical. It's, you know, like peace, and there's this dependence and, just this ability to see beyond the moment. And that's where I see growth when it's like the stuff hits the fan and what is coming out is not yucky. It's, oh, okay. You know, I might still have wondering, I might still be unsure, but my response is to go to Jesus first. My response to people is not criticism. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's not just yucky stuff going on. It's like, oh, let's like grow through this together.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's just a really easy, you know, way to look at that personally. I don't know. I'm going to throw it back at you for some of it too. But yeah, when you're thinking about growing in effectiveness towards, you know, if we're going to tie this to our mission, right?
Yeah.
To helping people connect to find Jesus, then, you know, looking at the next steps people are taking. You know, are people finding Jesus? Are they, you know, getting baptized? Are they getting connected to a group? Are they beginning giving, you know, tithes and offerings? Are they practicing silence and solitude, Sabbath? How, you know, what's the transformation that's happening underneath, you know, underneath it all?
Yeah. I think there is a place for like metrics, like clear, like measuring points that, and so I think those are important. Like we can't neglect those things. So especially when it relates to our mission, right? Like, are people coming to Christ? Are people being baptized? Are people, you know, beginning to incorporate the practices into their lives? You know, are they allowing it? And you were kind of alluding to this personally, like, are they allowing the Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit in them? So, you know, Galatians 5, right? This love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, you know, are those things coming out of me as a person, you know, personally, as a church? I think it oftentimes shows up in how we, again, respond to things. And I was reminded again, and we're leaning like pretty heavily. And I think you preached a little bit on John 15 on Sunday. You know, Jesus gives this example of the vine and the branches, and abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. Yeah. And I just, again, thinking about like my garden and my fruit trees, you know, when they've been pruned, they start to grow. And they go through seasons of like rapid growth and then slow growth. And I think most spiritual growth is really slow.
Yeah.
And we want it to be fast, right? You know, I want to, you know, order my Amazon like at 11 PM and get it the next day.
Click buy.
Right. Yeah. Click buy. And so, but you know, when the pears start to show up on the tree, you know, the foliage grows really fast and then the pears show up, but then it takes like all summer, right? They might show up in June, but they're not ready till September.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's the slow growth that happens, but it's consistent. Right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's realizing as a church body that the best growth is usually slow and steady.
Yeah.
You have seasons of like, we'll grow rapidly and something will change real quick and be like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. Or this is really hard.
Yeah.
But the way we respond in those things. And so like, how do we respond in seasons of rapid growth? Like, do we stay rooted? Do we stay grounded?
Yeah.
You know, do we stay committed to our values and our practices?
And
then in those longer seasons, do the same thing. Like, do we stay the course, right? Do we like, hey, like we've got to just stay rooted in this thing. I've got to stay, you know, abide in him, connected to the vine. And one of the ways that like I noticed that, and I think, you know, you see it too, is like, you know, just the prayer response at the altars for us right now. Like this is like a sign of growth for us, or even like when that happens, like out in the lobby, when people are praying for each other, or those are like all just like small signs of, or when, you know, crisis comes and how to respond. I've been really proud of us as a church, you know, over the past several years of just how we responded, just cultural crisis and things that happen. Like we move to prayer, we move to dependence. And so there's this openness to what the Spirit wants to do. I think those are signs of like growth that prepare us for, you know, numerical growth when it comes or, you know, that God, you know, we've been trusted with a little, then maybe God will trust us with a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so those are just, I think, ways that it shows that we've been, that we're having an effective growth. Like fruitfulness is there because it shows up in the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And this increased dependence on who God is and what God wants to do in us.
Yeah. So. And those are things that, like, again, you can't manufacture that. Like you can manufacture, you know, numerical growth or like this hyped sense of growth because you've got some cool shtick you're doing, but the kind of growth that's healthy growth that we're talking about, like that's something only the Spirit can do.
Yeah.
And so it's up to us to just create space for God to move and for people to connect with that and have an encounter and then help guide and disciple them along the journey that they're on. And that's, you know, the responsibility of your pastoral staff and your leaders. And then as one another, as we love one another, you know, we said this on Sunday, like we are the body of Christ together. We do this together. And, you know, I want to see all of us growing in all of the fruits of the Spirit. And then hopefully, I mean, for sure, we want to see this place full of people, because again, that just means transformed lives in Christ. Isn't it Eugene Peterson that says it's like a long obedience in the same direction?
Yeah. Yep.
It's just a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's hard for us, you know, especially in our current cultural context and how everything, like you said, is just fast, to be able to be content with that long transformation and then celebrating the moments where we see it.
Yep.
Oh gosh, look at, you know, we've long wanted our church to be a praying church, and that's been on your heart. It's been on the rest of the pastoral staff's heart, the board's heart. And it's been a long prayer that that would be happening, and we're seeing that happening.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not just now in the pastoral level or the board level. It's people on Sundays are just mm-hmm. desperate mm-hmm. and seeking God in prayer at the altars, and it's bleeding out into other areas. Mm-hmm. And that just feels, you know, it's something we just want to celebrate. Like God's really working there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the values that I think, for a while was aspirational. Like, you know, every church, you know, wants to be a praying church, right? But not every church is, and we have to work at it. And so, you know, that there's a reason like we didn't add that to like the list of values early on, because it wasn't true necessarily of who we were, but it is true of who we are now. Like it is. And I think it has been in our past, you know, at various points. And so it's not like it's a brand new thing.
Right.
But, you know, looking forward to like, hopefully soon, like adding that to it, become our sixth value.
Yeah.
Right? This idea of like, we are not just a church who prays, but we are a praying church, and we are a praying people.
So I mentioned on Sunday that our values are not uneditable, right? Like as we, you know, lean into other things that become true of us, and we add stuff, and love to add prayer up there. I think you mentioned, during your sabbatical, you got to visit some of our sister churches and just, you know, not many, or if any, did they have that dedicated mm-hmm. kind of prayer space time. And, you know, that's fine. But I just think it's really cool that we do have that, and that we make space for that on Sunday mornings.
Yeah. And I think, again, maybe just to tie a bow on some of this, you know, like this is how we do this.
Yeah.
Right. Like the values are important. And a series like this, Pastor Crystal and I were talking how it feels more like teaching than preaching. And as preachers, we sometimes get, you know, our feelings involved with with that. But it's really important for us to just continue to be united around, hey, this is how we function as a church. And this is what the behaviors that help help us accomplish our mission.
Yeah.
Right. And so this idea of like, this is how we do this. Like we grow and we find personal connection, and we are a wholehearted people, and we are optimistic, right? And we are generous. Generosity is our spiritual practice for this series. We'll talk about generosity in a couple of weeks. But like we lean into those things to help us accomplish our mission
and stay together on mission.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's an important series for us just to remember that this is how we do this.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to be about as a church. Both alone, you know, so hopefully you can take those values. And the cool thing is we've heard stories over the years of people like incorporating these values into their own lives, right? Yeah. And organizing, you know, how they go about their lives and their family and their workplace around those values, and it really making a difference. And so it's, how do we do that alone and then together as a church? And that's really, I think, the kind of the goal of this series is to help us to lean into that a little bit more. Thanks for joining us today. And we hope that this week, maybe you'll lean into some growth, and maybe it's, you know, you jump back onto that Bible reading plan, or you make it a point to, you know, be here on Sundays. You know, lots of different ways that you can grow. And if you need help, like we'd love to help you, equip you with some ways to help you grow, in big and small ways.
Right.
So
lots of resources for you.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us and join us on Sunday as we dive into the values. And if you didn't know, I think I kind of said them there, but our values are personal connection, wholeheartedness, generosity, growth, and optimism. Those are our five values.
And then bum, bum, bum.
Prayer, hopefully
coming soon. Coming soon.
So thanks for joining us today. Yep. And we'll jump in next week again. Hit us with your questions. We'd love to answer the personal questions that you have. But other than that, hope you grow a little bit this week, and see you next week.
Bye-bye. That's a wrap for today. Stay curious, and we'll see you next week.